A voice cries out in the darkness.
Help me!
They implore you. Unable to decline, you take up this side quest to explore
the NES aging cartridge.
Before I begin, a quick note in Japanese. Orochi-san, arigato gozaimashita! Anata no blog wa hontou ni tasukarimashita!
I just wanted to say thank you to Orochi, and his blog helped me very, very much.
Merry Christmas from the Doors and Dungeons podcast. Well, it's a little bit after Christmas now, but this is your Christmas slash New Year's present. Yes, this year I'm bringing you a Christmas present in the form of an NES story that's probably never been told before in the US. It's the story of a strange cartridge, the NES aging cartridge. The story begins on Twitter. I was making a post about how my copy of You Know, A Girl Who Chants Love at the Bounds of This World for Nintendo Switch had arrived from the US. My friend Tom jokingly responded with a link to a better game called Color a Dinosaur for NES, on sale for about $100. I decided to counter that by going to Yahoo Auctions, typing in NES into the search bar, and filtering it by highest price. What I found was the beginning of this story. The NES aging cart, for an amusingly low price of 197,000 yen. Which Google says is equal to exactly $1,800.78 as of today's exchange rate. I linked this to Tom as an amusing response, and then suddenly I realized I needed to know what this thing actually was. Okay, so first off, what is this thing? What does it look like? Well, depending on what app or website you're using to listen to this podcast, you should be able to see a picture of the auction either as the cover image or in the podcast episode description. Just in case you can't see it, I'll describe it, as it will actually be important. First, its housing is a normal gray NES cartridge, just like any other NES game. On it is a white paper label with some black border lines. At the top it says, NES Aging Yo, which means for NES Aging Muse in Japanese. So, of course, my first question is, what's aging? A bit of research showed that aging in tech is a term for tools to test various things, such as RAM writes or screen burn-in. So that means that this is a test cartridge of some kind, but at first I couldn't get much more info than that. At any rate, the cartridge then says in Japanese, Protect IC 3193, and then the 3193 is marked out with a permanent marker, and stamped just below it is 3196. This stamp will become important later. Below that is written in kanji, Biko, which means like notes or comments, and then stamped beneath it is a big CL. This stamp will also be important. Lastly, beneath that is written in Japanese, Nintendo Kabushiki Gaisha, which is standard Japanese for Nintendo Company Limited. And then again, it says NES Aging in smaller letters. Okay, so here's this bizarre cartridge with some cryptic info that seemingly only a Nintendo insider would be able to understand. And it's selling for $1,800 on Yahoo Auctions. Surely there must be more information out there, right? So I keep digging and digging with little success until I eventually find one really fascinating Japanese Famicom blog. After reading all the information on their blog about this, I emailed the administrator slash writer of this blog, a guy named Orochi, and asked if I could tell his story. He agreed, and so I would like to point you to his website, which is famicoms.net, like famicomplural.net, where you can read the full story and other exciting, fun stories in Famicom gaming. It's all in Japanese, but even if you only have Google Translate, you can still make some sense of it. Orochi and I stumbled across this story in similar ways. Back in February 2019, he became aware of some strange, expensive eBay auctions for something called an aging cart. Now, Keep in mind that the Japanese call them cassettes instead of cartridges, since Japanese Famicom games were originally designed to be almost exactly the same size as a standard cassette tape case. Rewind, pun intended, back to October 2018, when a similar cart was listed for sale on Mercari, which is sort of a higher quality Craigslist in Japan where you can sell things or trade them. This cart sold within an hour for 3,500 yen, shipping included, which is about $32. Whoa. Okay, it seems clear that whoever sold this first cart didn't know of the value it had, especially since similar carts have been appearing on Mercari in the 30,000 yen range. Again, roughly $270. So what was going on? Orochi apparently was aware of this original Mercari listing and kept a screenshot of it, and several things are of note. First, there's the extremely low price. As I said, this suggests that the seller didn't know its value. But it may also suggest that it's not that rare to begin with. The second is that, when compared to the Yahoo auction I found, plus the other eBay auctions that Orochi found, the labels are very similar, but not identical. The first Mercari listing has all the same writing and stamps as the others. However, on this label, the stamps are not crooked or faded the same way, and the permanent marker has a slightly different stroke pattern. This suggests that the cartridges on other websites are either forgeries based on the original, or part of a large batch of these so-called aging cartridges. Orochi decided to do some research, and discovered a Twitter user called Shebiru Retro, who was watching the original Mercari listing in real time. Orochi links to Shebiru's Twitter account, but unfortunately it seems that Shebiru has taken the account offline since then. At any rate, Shebiru told Orochi that not just one, but a large lot of these aging cart Mercari listings had appeared all at once from one seller, all with similar labels, and all at 3,500 yen each. Shebiru bought one cartridge only, and then was saddened to see that another user bought all the rest very quickly. He speculates that this second buyer was a foreigner living in Japan and running a retro game export business somewhere overseas. This mysterious buyer bought the lot of them, and then held on to them for a few months before beginning to sell them on various auction sites. Orochi's blog suggests that this point seems suspect, as there's no way to determine if these are real cartridges, entirely fakes, or one original with a big batch of slightly modified duplicates being manufactured by either this mysterious buyer or the original Mercari seller. More on that later, though. So what actually is an aging cartridge? I have to give many thanks to Orochi for his wonderful gaming detective work at this point, as he really did a deep dive into the research, both on Japanese and English websites. According to Orochi, aging cassettes are the official Nintendo terminology for a test cartridge designed to verify whether or not a game's ROM was burned properly. He found a post from a European forum showing an aging cart for a German SNES, which apparently ran a test program that could do things such as display graphics and test to see if they caused burn-in damage to CRT televisions, as well as a number of other hardware tests. Other aging carts with various hardware tests have been found for Famicom Disk System and Game Boy Advance, so we know for sure that aging carts are a real thing. But what about this NES cart? Orochi points out an obvious question, one which most hardcore gamers will probably know the answer to. If these carts are for European or North American releases, why are the labels all written in Japanese? As you probably know, Nintendo always manufactures the cartridges for their systems themselves in Japan, no matter what region the product is designed for. Thus, these cartridges would have been used in a Japanese factory, where the workers didn't read much English. In fact, if you do a Google search, you can find similar cartridges called test cartridges in English. Orochi speculates that these were designed for use by overseas repair shops and Nintendo reps, and not for use in Japanese factories, hence the English. We know that aging cartridges as a thing are real. But what about these NES aging cartridges? The only way to find that out would be to get one of them and do some experimentation, right? Bless you, Orochi! Our intrepid Famicom adventurer traveled all the way to Aichi Prefecture to meet Shebiru and get to the bottom of this mystery. Orochi arrives at Shepherd's house and describes the scene. There's a six tatami-sized gaming room, which is roughly 100 square feet, with a couch, a modern HD TV, a Sony Trinitron CRT TV, which is common among Japanese retro enthusiasts for their RGB-compatible Sony Multi-AV inputs, and a UV-protected glass shelf full of NES games. Orochi states that out of 119 games, which I'm guessing is Shaberu's Famicom collection, 215 of them are NES games, dozens of which are complete in box. Shaberu himself is a younger collector, and Orochi guesses that he probably had not even been born yet when the Famicom was released. Based on my own personal experience, collecting that many Western NES cartridges from within Japan is a very rare and costly endeavor, so Shaberu's collection is quite impressive. Now, before we continue our story at Shaberu's house, I'd like to deviate from Orochi's timeline a little and talk about something he discovered a little bit later. It seems that a few days after visiting Shaberu, Orochi discovered a Nintendo Age forum post from 2011 describing an aging cart, which may be the origin of this entire story. However, this aging cart came with its own mysteries, two of which will be answered shortly. This Nintendo Age post has several pictures showing a very yellowed and likely water-damaged label. All of the information on the label is the same, with the exception of two differences. First, both the small and large Protect IC numbers start with a 6 instead of a 3. Both are heavily faded and the image is low resolution, so it's hard to clearly make out the other numbers. The second new detail is that just below the CL, there appears to be some handwritten English in permanent marker. The Nintendo Age poster says that the writing appears to spell out F-U-C-K-U land. The obvious question is, why is there a mysterious handwritten expletive on the label? A further clue to the Protect IC number can be found in a screenshot of the internal board, in which a small chip labeled 6113 is easily noticeable. This potential origin cartridge will become very important later on, but for now, let's get back to Shaberu's house. As is customary in these sorts of situations, Orochi gives Shaberu a few gifts for allowing him to visit his home, and then they get down to business. NES business. Shaberu shows him the cartridge, and immediately it's obvious that this cartridge is generally the same as the others, but with the slightly different placement of the stamping and marker, just as the auction copies were. It's easy to see that the auction copies were definitely not just recycled images of the same cartridge, so that's a good sign at least. I will describe what happens next, though if you'd rather see it yourself, pause this and check out Orochi's own YouTube video, which I have linked in the description, and then return. I'm giving you a few seconds here to pause before I unleash the spoilers. Okay, so Orochi opens the lid on Shaberu's US NES system, inserts the aging cart, and turns on the system. What should appear on the screen but... Clue-Clue Land! Except every time it reaches the title screen, the game flashes and resets. This behavior will clue you in, pun still intended, if you're a knowledgeable NES gamer, as this is a telltale sign that either the cartridge is not inserted properly or is not passing the infamous 10 NES lockout chip test. The next thing they do is put the cartridge in a Retro Freak console, which is the Japanese equivalent of the Retron 5. As you may know, this is a console designed to dump the ROM of any game inserted and then run that ROM in an emulator. When the aging cart is inserted into the Retro Freak, it shows up as a Famicom Clue-Clue Land, exactly the same as what appears if a Japanese Famicom copy of Clue-Clue Land is inserted. Now, this in itself is not that surprising, as a number of NES games actually have ROM chips identical to the Japanese release to save money. Think back to that Nintendo Age post now. If you look carefully at the label, you can see that what the original poster read as F-U-C-K-U land is actually supposed to be C-L-U-C-L-U land. This part of the label obviously got wet at some point, as the large CL stamp has both faded and smeared lightly. In the handwritten section, the first C is gone entirely, and the L has a little smearing of ink that makes it look like an F. After that, you have a clear U and C, followed by another L, which has more ink smears over it, making it look, potentially, like a K. After that is a U, followed by Lan. Thus, Clue Clue Lan, in all caps with no spaces, becomes our mysterious F-U Lan. But what about the flashing and resetting? As I said before, this is usually a sign of a problem either connecting with or passing the 10NES lockout chip procedure. That led Orochi to speculate that the Protect IC was actually the number for the 10NES lockout chip's region code. A quick search for these codes shows that 3193 is the code for the North American region, while 3196 is the code for Asia and Hong Kong. Interestingly enough, the 6113 found on the Nintendo Age cartridge is a later revision of the North American region's 3193 chip, meaning that the Nintendo Age cart would most likely be a different region than Shebaru's cart. Shebaru and Orochi didn't want to open this particular cartridge since it's very easy to damage the top part of the label when doing so. Instead, Orochi shows us something unexpected. He links us to a photo on an Instagram account called Tozai Export, which appears to be the mysterious buyer who supposedly snapped up all the rest of these aging carts on Mercari. Tozai's description says he is an Australian export in Japan, exporting various otaku Japanese goods. In the picture Orochi linked, Tozai has opened one of the carts and asked if anyone has any information about it. This picture was from November 2nd, 2018, which is about the same time that the carts appeared on Mercari. In the picture, you can see that the board contains chips labeled HVC-CL-0-PRG and HVC-CL-0-CHR, which are the same ROM chips as found in the Japanese version of Clue Clue Lan. This means that these boards are definitely Clue Clue Lan boards. It is then also safe to assume that the large CL on the cartridge label is to indicate that this is Clue Clue Lan, as CL matches the ID on the chips. To the left of the main chips is a small 10NES chip, which has the number 3196A imprinted on it. This would indicate that the board is indeed a Hong Kong market version of Clue Clue Lan, seemingly identical to any standard retail board. Since the cartridge failed the lockout test on Shebaru's US region NES, it's safe to assume that Shebaru's cartridge is also a 3196A. So, this finally gets us to the ultimate question. Are these cartridges that have been suddenly appearing on auction sites in the US and Japan real or fake? The short answer is that we just don't know. Orochi, Shebaru, and Tozai Export all seem uncertain. And there's a lot of points to consider, both for and against their authenticity. Let's follow Orochi's example and break it down. The most immediately obvious point is the condition of the labels themselves. In every photo that I've seen of these aging carts, the labels appear to be very crisp and clean, with a completely unfaded white coloration. When you compare this with the picture of the slightly different Nintendo Age cart, as well as the other known Nintendo test cartridges from the internet, you can see a drastic difference in quality. This would suggest that the labels may have been recently printed, though it isn't impossible for them to have been stored carefully in a box somewhere safe. Knowing what I know of Japanese summers and air conditioning and mold, though, it does seem a bit unlikely. The next question is one of number. Throughout the years, quite a few test cartridges for various Nintendo systems have appeared and been passed around from website to website. In pretty much all of these cases, including the Nintendo Age cart, it appears that they are individual cartridges. Yet here we have multiple Mercari auctions appearing all at once with professional-looking similar but distinctly different cartridge labels. Therefore, we know that this isn't the case of one legitimate copy having its photo reused over and over to make fake auctions. That would suggest one of three major possibilities. The first is that someone got a hold of a box of real aging carts and decided to sell them individually for 3,500 yen each. The second is that someone got a hold of one real aging cart, duplicated the label, and then created a stack of copy carts based off of it. That seems somewhat unlikely, since we know that both Shebaru and Tozai purchased carts, and they appear to have identical boards with Hong Kong 10NES chips inside them. If one was real and the others were fake, you would expect all the copies to have random boards for completely worthless games, and not something as rare as a Hong Kong region board inside of them. The third possibility is that someone found a backstock of Hong Kong Clue Clue Lan carts, So the Nintendo Age cart recreated the label, modifying it to match the Hong Kong region, and then relabeled the stock with the new aging cart labels. This possibility also requires extreme luck, since the stock of boards available would have to be Clu-Clu-Land ones, which would then have to happen to match what was on Nintendo Age. If someone did use the Nintendo Age cart as a template to make new aging carts, you'd expect them to be for a different game, with a stamp other than CL on it. Furthermore, you'd expect that the CL stamp on these new copies wouldn't be an identical font to the stamp on the Nintendo Age cart, which it actually is. Orochi did say in his evaluation of Subaru's cart that the stamp CL and 3196 were definitely made with a real ink stamp as opposed to being a facsimile stamp just printed onto the label. The first two major points seem to suggest at least the possibility that these carts are in fact real. However, the next two points are the ones that bothered me most throughout all of my research. The first of these is one that isn't readily noticed until you start looking up images of other known Nintendo test cartridges. Orochi was able to find three different images of other NES cartridges that were designed to test the actual game ROMs themselves, instead of hardware tests, and in each of these cases, there's written in Japanese, "not for resale," which is what you'd expect to see on any cart containing a full game. Standard hardware testing cartridges seem to never have this, at least from the sample we can readily evaluate online. You would expect, then, that a batch of Clu-Clu-Land test cartridges would also have "not for resale" printed on them, but none, including the Nintendo Age cart, do. The second point is the idea of a game testing cartridge itself. It seems clear that Nintendo did make a number of aging carts with various test programs written onto them. Since those would be used to test any console that needed it, you wouldn't be shocked if there were a large number of these floating around. And yet, they seem to show up online individually, and never part of a large batch. But for the other types of test cartridges, like we have here with our Clu-Clu-Land aging cart, the goal was to test whether or not the individual game ROMs were burned properly and functioned. In this case, you would expect that during the manufacturing process, only one or perhaps a small handful of these would be made. After all, once you've confirmed that they function properly, why would you need to make more? Now, perhaps there was a large batch of these cartridges made to be given to the staff for bug testing purposes. That's certainly plausible, but then why would you need to bug test a Hong Kong release of a game that was already on the market in Japan? Especially when the ROM chips themselves appear to be identical to the Japanese chips when put through the RetroFix ROM CRC identification process. If the goal was simply to test if a single run of cartridges were manufactured properly, would you really need 10-plus copies to do so? The problem is, we just don't know what Nintendo's actual procedure was. Perhaps this was a legitimate practice within the company, and if so, it would explain how the Nintendo Age copy could appear 8 years earlier with a different region code. The difference in number between the Nintendo Age cart and our current Hong Kong region aging carts can also be explained by simple statistical probabilities. The Nintendo Age cart appeared in the US, where a Japanese factory-use-only cartridge would be extremely rare. However, the current aging carts originally came from a single Mercari user who, according to Mercari itself, lives in the Kansai region, which includes Nintendo's headquarters in Kyoto. A large batch of cartridges is then statistically far more likely to show up from there than anywhere else in the world. The last point, which actually adds to the overall credibility of these cartridges, is that the original Mercari listings were all sold at 3,500 yen. As Orochi points out, Hong Kong region copies of Clu-Clu-Land would likely be just as rare and similarly valuable as Japanese aging carts would be. Why then would a user take the time and money to print all these labels and damage a whole batch of already valuable cartridges only to sell them for roughly $32 each? And anyway, how likely is it that anybody but the most hardcore of collectors is going to buy one of these cartridges? If anything, selling them for 3,500 yen each suggests that the original Mercari seller just wanted them out of their house, or perhaps a former Nintendo employee passed away and they were sold by a relative trying to clean the house out. It's hard to say, but the impression I'm left with is that the original Mercari seller simply wanted them gone and didn't know their potential value. Perhaps they really are real, and Shebru and Tozai are just lucky. If so, congratulations to them. They both got something cool from their investment in that case. In conclusion, my advice is simply to be careful. as collectors of rare items, it's often hard to know what's real or fake, despite all our best research. The more internal to the company an item like this is, the less likely anybody is to have legitimate information on it. Sometimes the fakes are obvious to anybody who does their homework. For example, during his research, Orochi came across a Famicom Donkey Kong cartridge with an aging cassette label on it. As Orochi was quick to point out, this so-called aging cassette had the word Famicom printed on it, but the label used the font from the Super Famicom era instead of the Famicom era's font. This kind of clue is easy to spot, but that doesn't mean better fakes aren't out there. We can analyze all day long, but when a mystery like this NES aging cart comes along, there's really no way to know. If you ask me, I'm leaning towards them being real, because honestly, I don't understand why you would sell them for 3,500 yen if they were not real. If they were fake, you would ask way more than that, because who would take the time to fake them and then not get any profit off of them? But who knows? Maybe the person selling them on Mercari didn't know that they were fake. Maybe they got, you know, sent a batch of them that were already made fake and they just kept them for a while and then decided, you know what, I don't need these anymore. It's really hard to say. This either could be a treasure trove or fool's gold. You've been listening to the Doors and Dungeons podcast. The music in this episode is by Roll Music. Roll Music is a composer from Spain who I discovered on the Free Music Archive. I will put a link to his albums on the Free Music Archive in the description. Please check it out. It's really good. I want to again share my thanks to Orochi for all his diligent research. If you liked this story, please check out his website at famicoms.net, as well as rate this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whatever platform you found it on. Also, please check out our Patreon and donate, because that's what helps me do things like keep this podcast going, pay for the server costs, you know, help me get a better mic, and things like that, which all make it easier for me to continue doing this in a timely manner. I really do appreciate everyone who has donated so far, and I just have to say that we've got a lot of cool things coming up for the next year. And I'll see you in 2020, the land of dreams and future and techno thingies. Woo! Wunchy wunchy. Yeah, I don't know. Bye!
Congratulations! By listening past the music, you have found the hidden Christmas egg! That's right! That means you get some bloopers and outtakes from me! Because I'm silly and goofy, and I do stupid things when I make blooper outtake things! Mistakes! Yay! So, Merry Christmas! Here we go! Beep! The next thing they do is try the cartridge in a retro feet. I've got retro feet. How about you? Ooh, boy. Them some really old-fashioned feet right there. Let me tell you what. Beep. In the picture Orochi linked, in the picture, I got another picture.